hymns here. 215, 215. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. So we'll sing verses 1 and 3, just remaining seated at this time.
Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden soul found liberty at Calvary. Now I've come to Jesus, learn. Then I tremble at the law I'd spurn, till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there to me. There my burden soul found liberty at Calvary.
And we'll sing the third verse as well.
Now I've given to Jesus everything. Now I gladly own him as my king. Now my ransomed soul can only sing of Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden soul found liberty at Calvary.
204, let us sing of his love once again, of the love that can never decay, of the blood of the Lamb who was slain, till we praise him again in that day. We'll sing the first two verses of this one together.
Let us sing of his love once again, of the love that can never decay, of the blood of the Lamb who was slain, till we praise him again in that day. I believe Jesus saves, and his blood makes me whiter than snow. I am sure we shall win, for we fight in the strength of our King. There is cleansing and healing for all who will watch in the life-giving blood. There is perfect deliverance and joy to be had in this world through the blood. I believe Jesus saves, and his blood makes me whiter than snow. I am sure we shall win, for we fight in the strength of our King.
Just before we have our first hymn, we're going to sing a few words or two verses of this new song we're going to sing each night at the mission. We, the people of thy host, standing here before thee for thy power, O Holy Ghost, we as one implore thee. 335. Jesus, keep me near the cross. And we'll sing the first two verses of this, and then we'll have our opening hymn.
We, the people of thy host, standing here before thee, for thy power, O Holy Ghost, we as one implore thee. Send the power, send it, we implore thee. Fill us with the Holy Ghost as we bow before thee. God of ages, God of grace, search these hearts before thee. With thy power come fill this place, we as one implore thee. Send the power, send it, we implore thee. Fill us with the Holy Ghost as we bow before thee.
Amen. And may the Lord answer that prayer and send his power into this meeting tonight. Our opening hymn is a wonderful hymn of testimony. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today, 123. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. It's wonderful to be able to say, I know he lives because he lives within my heart. If you're saved tonight, sing this with all of your heart and we'll stand and worship God with this beautiful hymn. Let's stand and sing.
I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's Jesus lives today. He walks with me and he talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to Christ. the King, the hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good.
Let's really sing it out.
He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and He talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to
wonderful to have assurance that we serve a risen Savior, one who's alive and alive forevermore. If you do not know the Savior tonight, it's our prayer. It's our heart's desire that you would come and trust Him and know Him and be able to sing, He lives within my heart. That's all that matters in life, to know that you're saved, that Christ abides within, and that you're on your way to heaven. We're going to pray as we come to this point in our service. We want to give the meeting in its entirety over to the Lord. We've had our prayer meeting beforehand, but we want just now publicly to acknowledge we're handing this service into the hands of the Lord, and may He move and be pleased to move tonight for His glory. Our loving God, our gracious, eternal Heavenly Father, we still ourselves, O Lord, tonight in Thy presence. We acknowledge that Thou art God. Beside Thee, there is none else. We acknowledge, Lord, Thou art the one whom the cherubim and seraphim say, holy, holy, holy. And, O Lord, we thank Thee that the Spirit of God did not write that God is holy or holy, holy, but holy, holy, holy. Lord, Thou art perfect. There is no sin, no shadow of sin with Thee. We thank Thee, O Lord, that our Savior was virgin born, perfect, innocent, and holy. And He lived a perfect life, fulfilling the law of God as our representative, as our substitute. We thank Thee He died an atoning death as our substitute upon the cross. The sins of His people were placed upon Him. The wrath of His Father was poured out upon Him. Father turned His back upon His Son as He bore hell for sinners like me. Oh Lord, we can't enter into that darkness. We cannot truly know what happened there in those hours. But we thank Thee that Christ cried out, "It is finished." And the work was completed. We thank Thee the satisfaction of a holy God was known that day, as Christ gave His blood upon the cross for sinners. And Lord, we rejoice that not only did He die an atoning death, but we rejoice in that glorious resurrection. Death could not hold Him. We thank Thee that sin is defeated. We thank Thee, O Lord, that Satan's head is crushed. We rejoice, O Lord, that the grave holds no fear for the child of God, for the sting of death is gone. We thank Thee, Lord, that we have a wonderful, glorious gospel message to proclaim tonight. We have hope tonight. We are of all men most blessed on this earth who are saved. And we pray, O Lord, that sinners in this place tonight will come to know this Lord as their Savior. Lord, men and women of this community who are out of Christ, lost in sin, on their way to hell, and Lord, we plead with Thee tonight that Thou will not let them continue and satisfied in their sin. But, O Lord, You will trouble them tonight, and that they'll realize that they sit before a holy God, one who is angry with them because of their sin, but one whose hand is outstretched, beckoning them to come for pardon. Oh Lord, show the sinner tonight there is but a call unto salvation. There is but a step of faith tonight. There is but a look to the Savior, believing that He is the only one who can truly save. Oh Lord, tonight, give grace for sinners to come. Give grace for sinners to call. Give grace for sinners to look to Christ. Give grace for sinners to take that step of faith tonight. Oh Lord, we pray that they will not sit in a gospel meeting and go out in their sin. But oh Lord, Thou wilt be merciful and Thou wilt save them by Thy grace. We thank Thee for the offer of God's salvation. We thank Thee, Lord, and we praise Thee that there is room at the cross for the sinner. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Oh, Lord, draw them tonight. Don't allow them to walk past the Savior and reject Him. Don't allow them to walk past the cross and the work of Christ and neglect it. But, oh, Lord, may they fall on their knees tonight and cry, Lord, save me. Save me, a sinner. Lord, we're so thankful tonight we're in the day of grace. But we realize, Lord, there's not one of us can guarantee that we will see tomorrow. Not one of us, Lord, in this meeting are even guaranteed that we have another hour left upon this earth. But we thank You, Lord. Those of us who are saved are sure that heaven is our home. It is well with our soul. The sin of which there is so much is now under the blood. And there's nothing between us and the Lord. Oh, Lord, come to this meeting tonight. Lord, we plead with Thee. We plead with Thee for the souls, man and woman. Lord, don't allow them to go out in their sin. Oh, Lord, step in. Have mercy tonight. Lord, Thou art able. And we leave this meeting in Thy hands. Bless our preacher. He needs Thee, Lord. Defeat the devil in this meeting tonight. Banish him from this place. Sanctify this hall for a holy, special use. And, O Lord, be glorified by what takes place in this meeting tonight. Lord, we're looking to Thee. No man can help another man. But we pray, O Lord, that Thou will come and save souls. Bless us, we pray. Be glorified in our midst tonight. For it's in Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen and amen. We're going to ask a group of young people from Youth Fellowship to come and minister in song just now.
Him in the garden of Gethsemane, they led Him to a cross which He took willingly. For our salvation He laid His life down, His precious blood fell like tears to the ground. Great is the mercy, great is the love, great are my many sins, but for the blood I still be drowning in death's bitter flood. Hopelessly perishing, but for the blood I try to buy mercy with all my good. I try to earn grace, but there's no way I could. If I gain the whole world, I'd still be lost without the blood Jesus shed on the cross. Great is the mercy, great is the love, great are my many sins, but for the blood I still be drowning in death's bitter flood. perishing, but for the blood. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless, are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Great is the mercy, great is the love, great are my many sins, but for the blood, I'd still be drowning in death's bitter flood. Hopelessly perishing, but for the blood. Hopelessly perishing, but for the just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. I come broken to be mended, I come wounded to be healed, I come desperate to be rescued, I come empty to be filled, I come guilty to be pardoned by the blood of Christ the Lamb. And I'm welcomed with open arms, praise God, just as I am. Just as I am, I would be lost, but mercy and grace my freedom bought. And now to glory in your cross, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. I come broken to be mended, I come wounded to be healed, I come desperate to be rescued, I come empty to be filled, I come guilty to be pardoned by the blood of Christ the Lamb, and I'm welcomed with open arms, praise God, just as I am. I come broken to be mended, I come wounded to be healed, I come desperate to be rescued, I come empty to be filled, I come guilty to be pardoned by the blood of Christ the Lamb, and I'm welcomed with open arms, praise God.
want to thank the young people for singing and reminding us of the wonderful truth that we come to the Lord Jesus just as we are. We come repenting of our sin. We can't clean up our lives. We simply come confessing our need and calling upon him for cleansing. We pray you'll come tonight. The Lord is ready and willing and able to save. And our prayer is that you will come just as you are. Can I welcome each one here tonight? It's wonderful to see so many gathered in on a Monday evening. And we thank you for making the effort to be at our mission. We do encourage you to come back again. We trust you will bring others with you under the sound of the word of the Lord. Do keep praying for the mission. At 1 o'clock each afternoon, we encourage you to pray and remember this before the throne of grace and prayer, that the Lord will be pleased to move in a mighty way. Each evening at 7:30, we have a pre-service prayer meeting in the seniors' room there. And then at 8 p.m., the gospel meeting mission continues here in the church complex. I would also remind you that if you would like to speak to the Reverend Martin about spiritual matters or myself, the first door just there on the left is a little inquiry room, and you are most welcome to go in there. And certainly, if you have any questions that we can help you with, we certainly will do what we can for the glory of the Lord. Don't leave with doubts. Don't leave not sure, but come tonight and we will help you. We can't save you, but we can open God's word and show you what the Lord says to you tonight. Tomorrow morning at 7 a.m., we're having an early morning of prayer for the mission. So if you are available, well, everybody should be available at that time, unless you have a very early start. If you're available, come along and join us at 7 a.m. and we'll have that season of prayer, just waiting on the Lord for this district, for this mission, for our loved ones, that they would know the Saviour. On Friday night of this week, our brother will be giving his testimony, and he has a wonderful testimony of the saving and keeping power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he has alluded to it at several points during the last number of meetings, but he's going to give his testimony in full. It's a wonderful story of God's deliverance, and the God who delivered our brother is the God who can deliver you. And therefore, we encourage you to bring friends and family out that night to hear that testimony. And we do pray that the Lord will use it for his glory. The final thing I just want to say is that there are some invitations there in the hallway. Do please take them with you and use them this week. Really, after this weekend, they're of no use. They're simply a reminder of what has been. But if you would take them and pass them out among family and friends, make the effort, go the extra mile, and the Lord will bless you as you serve him during this time of mission. We're going to sing one more hymn, and then our brother is going to come preach the word of God. That hymn is 243. Sinners, Jesus will receive. Sound this word of grace to all who the heavenly pathway leave, all who linger, all who fall. And we'll sing verses 1, 2, and 4, leaving out verse number 3, verse 1, 2, and 4, and we'll stand and worship God.
Sinners, Jesus will receive. Sound the word of grace to all who the heavenly pathway leave. All who linger, all who fall, sing it o'er and o'er again. Christ, receive the sinful man. Christ, receive the sinful man. Come and he will give you rest. Trust him, for his word is sure. He will take the sinfulness. Christ, receive the sinful man. Sing it all. Receive a sinful man. Make the message clear and plain. Christ, receive a sinful man. Christ, receive a sinful man. Even me with with all my sin, purged from every spot and stain, and with him I'll enter in. Sing it o'er and o'er again. Christ, receive a sinful man. Make the message clear and plain. Christ, receive a sinful man.
Folks, if you have your Bible with you, I invite you please to turn to Mark's Gospel and the chapter 8. Mark's Gospel, the chapter 8, please, just as you're finding the place, could I add to the words of welcome that you've already received? I know you got a welcome at the door. There's no doubt maybe somebody beside you welcomed you as well and chatted to you at least and said hello to you. We trust that was the case. And of course, you got a welcome as they were making some announcements and the official welcome from your own pastor here in the church. But just in case you missed it all, then we want just to re-emphasize how glad we are to see you and to see the hall so well filled as other chairs have been put out. And it's a Monday night. I wasn't sure on the second week how you would go, and I thought you'll be exhausted. And I have kept you late every night and kept you awake, no doubt. And you've stayed, I know even last night it was a long night for many folks, but I just want to say how much we do appreciate your presence here this evening. We're glad to see you and want to especially and warmly welcome you in our Saviour's precious name. And if it is your first time even to this building and to this church or even to the mission, then could we say thank you for coming, and we trust it'll not be your last, but you'll come back again. And if you're out of Christ tonight and you're not saved, we pray that God will speak to your heart and the Lord would save you. I've said it a number of times in the mission, I'll say it again, that we would not cross the street to make you a Free Presbyterian. That's not what we're about. We don't believe that a denomination can take anyone to God's heaven. A denomination and trusting in any denomination, institution or organization will take you to hell. It's only Christ who can get you to heaven. And so we wouldn't cross the street to make you a Free Presbyterian. And that's not what our business is. It's to preach Christ, a living Saviour, to dead sinners. It's to show you the way of life, the cross, and to lift up the Saviour, the only Redeemer of God's elect, the one who says, I am the door, I am the way, and he's the truth and the life, and we want to invite you to him, and we want you to introduce you to him, the only Saviour, that you might come to know the Saviour we know, and you might share in the experience of the new birth and conversion and the transformation of life and the joy and the peace that the Lord brings, and that assurance that it's well with your soul and that heaven is now open to you and that you can enter heaven at death or if the Lord returns again. Now, these things are priceless and they're precious. Before we read God's word, let me tell you about my uncle. My uncle Alec was a drunkard. He was a man who cared for no one but himself. Not being disrespectful to him, my uncle was not only homeless, but he was a tramp. In every sense of the word, he was a tramp. I said to him one day, Alec, you've slept in some rare places. You slept, and he usually slept in Lurgan Park bench. If you were down in the park in Lurgan, you would have seen my uncle Alec. And he was stretched out at night on the park bench, he had nowhere to live. And he said to me one time, I've slept in worse places. And I thought, there could be nowhere worse in this world. First of all, I'm from Lurgan, Lurgan Park, and on the bench. I'm like, what could be worse than Lurgan Park bench? He says, well, one night there was a party on, but they wouldn't let me in. And he says, they shut me out. And he says, there was this, like a, it was like a bit of a shed. But he discovered that it was the kennel of a large Alsatian dog. And he says, me being drunk, he says, he went into the kennel. He just crawled in. And he grabbed the Alsatian by the neck and the ears and he pulled it out. And he got in. And the Alsatian got in beside him and kept him warm all night. That was his blanket. I met him one time just shortly after I came out of Her Majesty's hotel. And he said to me, well, Thomas, what are you at? I says, well, I can tell you the truth. As you know, I'm a saved person, I'm born again now. And I just want to tell you, Alec, I'm having a gospel mission. And would you be able to come along to it? Would you like to come? And he said, I would. And I didn't even know where to pick him up, because he slept in derelict houses and everywhere. So he mentioned this house, and there was nothing in it. And I arrived the next night, picked him up. And sure enough, he came to the mission. And that night, we preached the gospel. There were very few people in. I think there were only about 8 people came to that meeting. One was my Uncle Alec, who was unsaved. Another lady from the area who was a backslider. And then the rest were all believers. And my brother-in-law, he preached and I led the service. And my brother-in-law preached as if there were 400. And here's the way he went. He says, maybe you're here tonight and you're not saved. And I'm going, that's me Uncle Alec. Maybe here you're here tonight and you're a backslider. And he's me, that's your woman on the other side. And I thought, he couldn't even tuck these people away in a large crowd like this. And I was a bit embarrassed myself, tell you the truth. And he preached, and the woman who was backslidden, she waited behind and came to the Lord, came back to the Lord. My Uncle Alec went home and he got saved. Now, he drank Buckfast wine that you would like drink water. And he could drink it and drink it and drink it with a bucketful. And he smoked. And he lived with a woman who really was a prostitute. And when he got saved, I thought to myself, I wonder how he will struggle with his sins. How long will it take him to give up the drink, the cigarettes, and especially this lady? My Uncle Alec came to me a few days later and he says, Tom, no Buckfast wine, no cigarettes. Naming the woman by name, he says, she's gone. She's gone. And what a transformation. He had a huge head of hair and a massive beard. I'm not going to look down in case there's somebody out there that has it. But he was like Catweasel. You ever remember Catweasel? He was like a fellow. If you come into the meeting tonight, you'd say his hair was everywhere. You come here in a bike without your helmet. You know, he's like a man who swallowed a hand grenade. Boom, and that was it. He got the hair cut, the beard off, and he had no teeth. I think he had maybe one tooth in the middle of his gum. He's the only man in Northern Ireland could bite into a polo mint and never break it. I'm going to tell you. Well, I want to tell you something. The Lord gave him a new set of teeth as well. He got them all out and he got a set of dentures in. And they were, I'm not joking, they were massive. They were really, I thought to myself, the dentist is having a laugh here. And I used to joke, and he's me, Alec, you're breaking them in for a crocodile. But he couldn't talk with them. So we were doing outreach. He was even doing outreach. And we were doing it for a gospel mission. I'll never forget the first door. He couldn't say gospel mission. It was like goy mission. Like, and he's me, and I burst out laughing. I couldn't stop laughing. And we had to give up the outreach, actually, because I just couldn't do it with him. But what a change. For 15 years, until he took a severe form of cancer. For 15 years, Alec Dugan, talk to anybody in Lurgantown, anybody. They knew my dad, a drunkard, an alcoholic. My house was a halfway house for every drunkard in Lurgan, and the card school, the gambling, and the abuse, and everything was there. But Alexander Dugan, Alec, and what a change. People couldn't believe it, all because he was invited to a gospel mission. So don't you be afraid to invite somebody to these meetings. Because if the Lord works in their hearts, he'll transform them forever. Alec's now with Christ, which is better by far. There are many places he has been, but I'll tell you now, he's in heaven, safe and secure. And it's well with his soul. So don't be afraid to invite people, family members. And it doesn't matter what their life is, what their sins are. It doesn't matter. Don't you worry. And don't think for one moment if you bring somebody in here that everybody will be looking at you and look at, they'll not. They'll not. That's what the mission's all about. We need to get all the self-righteousness away from our hearts. We do. And we should never be uncomfortable when people who are out of Christ, without a Saviour, come into the house of God. We should rejoice that God is bringing them in. And we pray the Lord will save them in the way he saved us and bring them savingly to Christ. That's the first sermon over. Better get down to the burden of my message. That's what always happens, waffling again. Mark chapter 8. We just want to read a few verses together from the chapter, please. Mark chapter 8. Verses 36 and 7 of Mark chapter 8 read, The words of the Lord Jesus Christ when he said, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Let's bow briefly in prayer. Loving Father, we thank thee for thy presence. We thank thee for the singing of the congregation and the special singing of these young people. We've been blessed tonight just to hear the people of God sing. We thank thee for young ones who have gifts and talents and employ them in the service of the Master. We thank thee, Lord, we've been blessed already tonight just listening to the ministry and song. And Lord, our hearts have been lifted. And we thank thee for bringing the folks again this Monday night. And we pray now for an intensified sense of the divine presence. Lift this meeting out of the natural realm. Bring it out of the ordinary meeting. Bring it into the unusual meeting. And be pleased to bless now the hearer and preacher alike. And Father, for the preaching of Christ, I stand before thee once again in this congregation as a candidate for the infilling of the Spirit of the living God. I pray for that divine anointing that enables me to preach Christ and him crucified. To this end, I ask publicly for cleansing from my own sin in the blood, for the infilling of the Spirit of the living God with wisdom and with power. And Father, in answer now to prayer, save the lost, restore the backslider, revive the church, glorify thy Son, and the people of God said, Amen. You know, these words of our Lord Jesus Christ teach us something of the reality of the soul. There are many individuals, and I know they're concerned about their body. That's for sure. We've never seen as many gyms opening today. We've never seen as many people going to swimming lessons. I did that myself. I started to go to these, not lessons, but go to the swim, And one man says to me, "Don't go on Tuesday." I says, "Why is that?" He says, "Because it's pensioner day." Now, he wasn't getting at me. He says, "It might be in your way." I went on so-called Tuesday pensioner day. And I was swimming, and this is how bad I was. The pensioners were passing me in the water. They were passing me in the water. They could do length after length after length and never stop. I did two. And on the third one way back, on the way back, I was nearly being asked to be rescued. I thought I was going to drown. That's a fact. And they were just passing me. So never go on a Tuesday if you can't really swim too well. I can't swim okay, but not just as fast or as good as them. Everybody's looking after their body, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's more diets now than anything. A fella met me one day, and he looked at me, and he knew that I'd put on a wee bit of weight, but he didn't want to embarrass me. And he says, "Tom, how you keeping?" I says, "Not too bad." And he looked at me up and down, and he says, "I see you stopped the running." That was a nice way to see you put on the weight. And I looked at him. He was twice the size of me, but I didn't insult him. Never said a word to him. But you can see it, they're out running, they're out jogging, they're out walking. They're at the gym, they're on these diets, they're always looking after the body. They pamper the body. They go into the Boots chemist, and there are many other chemists, by the way. And they get all this anti-wrinkle cream, you know what I mean, anti-aging cream. I do not care how much you use, you cannot stop the aging process. It's a fact. I remember whenever I was a child, I used to worry, this is a fact, I used to worry what I would look like when I was 40 years of age. Because that was the age of my dad. And I thought, if I got to his age, look at him. What would I look like if I was 40? And see, when I became 40, I had every right to be worried. It was dreadful. No teeth, no hair. I'm putting on the weight. But you know, very few people consider their soul. Oh, they pamper the body, but they forget about the soul. And I wonder, have you ever thought about your soul? There's nothing wrong with looking after the physical frame, but housed in that body of yours is the most precious, priceless, valuable possession that you have. There's nothing else more valuable and important. There's nothing else more precious and priceless in all of God's universe than the created soul of mankind. I want to tell you, my friend, there's nothing in this world of more value than your precious soul. And the Bible tells me that the soul is as real as the body. Just as you can feel your body and see your body, just as you can look after your body, I want to tell you, your soul is just as real as your body. And while you would look after yourself and you would diet and you would make sure that all is well physically, I want to tell you what the body is. It's nothing else but a tent or a tabernacle or a house that houses your soul. Your soul is as real as your body. In fact, your soul is the real you. Your soul is what keeps your body alive. And I know medically they'll tell us it's the blood and the life is in the blood. We know that. When the soul leaves the body dies. That's what death is. I could write on every single person's death certificate that they died when the soul left the body. That soul of yours, my friend, is real. In the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings, we read about the creation not only of the world, but the creation of man or mankind, male and female. And there we read these words in Genesis 2 and 7. And the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground. That was his body. I want you to see this. When Adam was formed from the dust of the ground, he stood there in his body and there was no life in Adam. He was an empty shell. He was flesh and bone. And that's all he was. That's all he was. And the Bible tells me that God did something when he created Adam in his body from the dust of the ground. Here's what it says in the verse. I'll read it to you. And God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Listen to it. And man became a living soul. And therefore housed in that body is the most precious thing that God has ever created. In this entire world, more precious than heaven, more precious than holy angels and highest archangels, is the soul of man. God gave to man a living soul. He created that soul for his glory and his honor, for fellowship, for communion with its maker, for the life and enjoyment of its creator God. That soul of yours, my friend, is of divine origin. It was not made from the dust of the ground. That's why the soul doesn't return to dust. It's only the body. How many committals I have done, and your own minister here as well. And we have often used the phrase, haven't we? Earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. And it's of the body. It can never be said of man's soul. The soul is as real as your body. It exists, it's alive, it's the real you, and it's the most important part of your created being. The Bible not only tells us something of the reality of the soul, but can I mention also, it also teaches the immortality of the soul. That soul of yours so precious, so valuable, that soul of yours so important, will live the lifetime of the God who created it. The soul does not age like the body. The soul will not decay or corrupt like the body. I want to tell you, my friend, the soul, that soul of yours, that soul that's so precious, will live the lifetime of God who created it. We preached on Luke chapter 16, and we got a glimpse of what happens at death for both saved and unsaved alike. One, the rich man died and was buried, and the Bible says in hell he lift up his eyes being in torments. There's no such a place as purgatory. The Bible, the word of Almighty God, says there's a heaven and there's a hell. There's no intermediate state at all. A heaven for those who are born again and saved by grace, and a hell for those who die in their sin, where Jesus says they'll never be. I'm telling you now, the rich man died and in hell. But we know that the Bible says this, the rich man died and was buried. That's his body. But his soul was alive after the body had died, because the soul has immortality. That soul of yours, my friend, will never die. Think of it. Would you not like to live forever? You will. You will. You will live forever. You will never die in relation to your soul. It's only the body that dies. Sin has cut off your soul from fellowship with God and shut it out of heaven and sentenced it to an eternal hell. That's true, but it will never die, not even in hell. It will be lost, languishing, lonely, suffering, tormented, but it'll still be alive. That soul will never die. And that's why we're dealing with important matters in this meeting. We're not dealing with pie in the sky. We're not dealing with speculation. We're not dealing with trivial matters. We're dealing with the soul. And that's why there's a gospel mission. That's why this hall for 30 years has been opened up for the preaching of the glorious gospel of Christ, because man has a living soul just as real as his body. And that soul, my friend, is immortal. In other words, it does not die like the body. In other words, it lives on in heaven, saved by grace, or lost in hell forevermore. When the eyes of the body fail to see, the eyes of the soul go on seeing. They will either look into the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has saved that soul and washed it in his own blood from its sin, or it will gaze into the flames of an everlasting hell. Which will it be? The face of Christ or the flames of hell? Which will it be for you? A death or the second coming of Christ? When the ears of the body fail to hear, the ears of the soul go on hearing. They will either hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Or else they will hear, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and the angels." When the senses of the body no longer feel anything, the soul goes on feeling, experiencing either the joy and the bliss of heaven, saved by grace, or the terrors and torments and anguish and pain of hell. Now tell me, did you ever think about your soul? Have you ever thought about your soul? That soul that is so real and will live the lifetime of God. Have you ever thought of getting it ready for eternity? Of having that soul saved and the sin that it's stained with removed? Because the Bible tells me not only of the reality of the soul and the immortality of the soul, the Bible reminds me, doesn't it, of the depravity of man's soul. That soul of yours and that soul of mine without Christ, without blood, without salvation, is stained by Adam's sin in the garden. We share in the fall of Adam. That's why we're born sinners. But that soul of yours, my friend, so precious, so priceless, so valuable, so important, that will live the lifetime of God and will never die, is stained by your own sin. It's unfit for heaven. And if you were to die now and your body released your soul into eternity, if you're not saved, then listen to me. You're shut out of heaven. We read the verse in the book of the Revelation, chapter 21, 27, when it tells us nothing that defileth shall enter in. Nothing. Your soul is cut off from the life and enjoyment of God by sin. That's why we sing in the little children's chorus, "I've a soul to be saved. Let this truth be engraved on my heart, on my mind, while I'm young. For how awful the cost if my soul should be what? Lost and in hell. In hell if I die as I am. Die as I am. Die as I am, all hope gone forever, if I die as I am." Now tell me, look at me, listen to me. Have you thought about your soul? Is it well with your soul? It might be well with you financially. It might be well with you with health. It might even be well with your family and your business and your farm. It might be well with your employment. It might be well with material things. But how do you stand with God? Is it well with your soul? Because the soul is real. The soul is immortal. And that soul is stained by Adam's sin and soiled by your own sin. That's why that soul of yours and mine, it needs to be saved. It needs to be washed and cleansed. That soul needs to be redeemed. That soul needs to be fitted for heaven and for glory. And it can only be done by faith alone, in Christ alone. Now, having said all this about the soul, there are two more things that I want to mention in regard to the soul. The first is this. There's danger. Your soul can be lost. There is danger. Your soul can be lost. That's what the text says, doesn't it? Listen to it. What shall it profit a man if he was to gain the whole world? Now listen to this. And lose his own soul. Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And so the Lord Jesus Christ, who says, I am the truth, in reference to the soul, he says there's danger. Your soul could be lost. Lost in hell forever. With no hope of release or escape. Lost forever. And it's your soul. And you're responsible for your own soul. And therefore you need to take seriously your responsibility tonight. And bring that soul to Christ. And ask the Lord to save your soul from sin, death, and from eternal hell. There are many things you can lose in this world. It's a fact. You can lose in this world your health. And there are some people who have lost for a little season their health. And with medical intervention, they have regained their health again. There are some people who have lost their business. And in the financial climate we're living in, there's a lot of pressure in business. And there are men and women who have lost their business, but they'll be able to work hard and they'll be able to get money and build it up again and start afresh. They could even testify, I lost this, that, and the other, but today I have another business and it's going well. You could lose your car. You can regain these things. You can recover your marriage, even if it's on the rocks. How many a marriage has been rescued and recovered? Your house. You can lose your house, but you can recover these things again. They're all recoverable. But if you were to lose your soul, my friend, it's an irretrievable loss. Remember that. Such is the value of the soul that if you were to literally gain the whole world, it would not compensate for 1 minute in God's hell. I want to tell you that now. If you were to spend 1 minute in God's hell, it would not compensate for living your life in sin and neglecting your soul's salvation. Now, some people, in reference to their soul, they've starved their soul. What do I mean by that? I'll tell you what I mean. They refuse to come to gospel meetings like this. They starve their soul of the necessary truths that are able to enlighten and save their soul. They starve their souls by refusing to come to God's house. There are children who don't come to Sunday school. And their parents starve them of the necessary truths that would save their soul. And if they do bring them to church, they want to bring them to a church, their children that is, where there's no preaching. And they can have a creche. And they can play and they can color in, but don't give them the Bible. And then they don't send their children to Sunday school, and they don't send their children to children's meeting, and they don't have a quiet time or a family time around the Word of God with their children, and they starve their children of the gospel. Maybe you know someone, and maybe it's you we're talking about. You haven't been in church for years. You haven't been under the gospel for decades. And you've starved your soul of soul-saving, life-giving, eternal truths. That's why the devil keeps you from the mission. That's why it's a struggle for you to get out to these meetings, because the devil does not want you to be saved, because the devil is a liar and he's a murderer from the beginning, and the thief cometh not but to what? Kill and to destroy. And if the devil had his way, he would kill you. And that's scriptural. You read Job chapter 1 and 2. And only God put a proviso on the devil not to touch the flesh of Job, his servant. The devil would have killed Job. And if the devil had his way with you, listen to me, he would kill you tonight. And he would damn your soul with him and the legions of angels that fell with him, Lucifer, the son of the morning. I want to tell you, you've starved your soul of life-saving truths. It's time that you brought that soul constantly under the preaching of the Word of God, that your soul might be saved. There are people who murder their soul. What do I mean by that? I simply mean they love their sin. They won't give up their drink. We've counseled them recently. We've counseled them constantly. They won't give up their drug taking. They won't give up their sinful pleasure. They will not give up the cigarette. They will not give up those other gambling addictions that they have. They will not give up their pleasure seeking. They'll not give up the pub. They'll not give up the nightclub. They'll not give up all the worldly things. They're not willing to pay the price. And they murder their soul by loving their sin. And they feed their soul on their sin. And they keep it out of heaven. And they send it down to hell. They're those who poison their soul. What do I mean by that? Very simply, they entrust their soul to the church, to baptism. That's a poison. Doesn't save the soul, it damns the soul. There's no saving grace in baptism. We believe it's a command for believers to be baptized, although there is debate in our own denomination, just to correct that. But I want to tell you, the confirmation altar cannot save your soul. Neither can any other rite or ritual of the church. There's no sacrament or ordinance, either in your church or mine, or in any religious body, that can save your soul. Now, I say this, I don't want to offend anyone. No collarette around your neck, whether it's green or orange or it's purple. No apron around your waist. No name of a secret society will save your soul. It's a poison if you're trusting in it for your soul salvation. You see, only in Christ and in Christ alone can your soul be saved. I want to tell you something. You might say to me tonight, preacher, you're way off the mark. You're way off the mark. You don't know me. That's true. You're saying to me, this poisoned my soul. I don't trust in the sacraments. You're saying, well, I'm murdering my soul. Well, I don't love my sin. I hate it. I'd like to turn from it. And I'd like to be a Christian. You're way off the mark tonight, preacher. You might even say to me, well, I don't poison my soul. I'm not looking to my baptism or my confirmation. I know I'm a sinner. And I know that Christ died on the cross for sinners like me. And he suffered and bled and died and rose again and paid the price. I believe all that. Well, listen, here's what you are guilty of then if you're not saved. What our Lord Jesus Christ said, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What's more important in your life now? If you're not saved in this meeting house, if you're not a Christian, if you're not born again, what is more important now? Why have you kept your soul from God? Why have you remained in your sin? Why have you not come to Christ? Why are you not saved tonight? If you believe all that, and you know you have a soul that is real, that is immortal, and a soul that's sinful, why have you not come to Christ? Why? I have to ask that. Why are you not saved? Why have you never been born again? Why are your sins not forgiven you? What is more important in your life than your soul tonight? What are you exchanging your soul salvation for? What's more important? What carries more weight in your thinking than the salvation of your soul? Surely your soul must take priority tonight. Why would you equal your soul with sin? Or even say sin is more important than my soul? It's not. The most important thing tonight for you is not getting out of this meeting. It's not getting home or getting to work tomorrow or back to your family and to your business and to your pleasure. I'll tell you what it is. making sure your soul is fit and ready for the great eternity, that you're saved and you know the Lord and your sins are forgiven. You see, some exchange their soul for lesser things, the pleasures of this world. How many people we counsel, we talk to, even in inquiry rooms over this past while and for years. The first mission that I really did, I did some other missions before it. The first mission that I ever did was 22 years ago, and it was in this very hall. The Reverend McRae, the Reverend John Gray, and myself, three of us, for 3 weeks, we had a gospel campaign in this hall. Over 25 souls during that mission were counseled. Over 25 souls. I want to tell you something. There are individuals who were unwilling to give up their sin. We've sat in inquiry rooms where people, when faced with their sin, that it's an offense to God, they rose up and they went out of the inquiry room. They were unwilling to give up their sin. I don't know what's keeping you back. I visited with a man when I first became the pastor in Lisburn Free. And this man, he was called David Shanks. And I thought he was saved, but he wasn't. Cut a long story short, fast forward. I visited with him when I realized he wasn't a saved man. And I says to him, David, can you tell me, are you saved? And here's what he said, no, I'm not. And then I looked at him and I leaned over in the chair and I says, David, tell me this, why are you not saved? And he says, and he laughed, he says, I'm too bad to be saved. And I says, David, that's a nonsense and you know it. You've heard too many gospel sermons and you've been to too many gospel meetings to believe that nonsense. You know you're not too bad, David. The Lord will take you. We heard it in the message and song, just as I am. And he says, you know something? You're the only person who's ever asked me in my entire life, am I saved? Not only that, but you're the only person who's ever asked me why. So I'm going to tell you. David was 83 years of age. And he said to me, Reverend Martin, I like to gamble. In the church, nobody knows that. Nobody really knows. I like to gamble. And I couldn't give it up. Now, I don't like to use this illustration, but I did. I leaned over to him and I was earnest and I says, David, now look at me, David. And I lifted my hand up and I says, see that hand, David? That's a thread of divine grace. Look at it, David. Look. And you could see him trembling. Your soul is suspended over hell, the flames of hell, by what? The thread of divine grace. And if God only willed it, and I did that, whoa. You're in hell, David. And he said, that's enough. No more. And I couldn't speak to him about his soul. I was deeply grieved. Finished the visit very kindly. Had a cup of tea and something to eat with him. And read and prayed and went home with an exceptionally heavy heart. I returned again and I sat and he says, well, David, did you think about the conversation we had a number of weeks ago? And he says, I did indeed. He says, you know, Reverend Martin, since you left this house, I haven't had one bet at all. I says, none. He says, that's right, none. Well, he says, David, what's keeping you back now? Here's what he said to me. I never forget it. He says, nothing. I says, would you come to the Lord? He says, I will. They took me by surprise. There's no textbook. What do I do here, Lord? I was really taken by surprise. I had the joy of pointing David Shanks in his own living room to Christ. 3 weeks after that, or 6 weeks, sorry, he was diagnosed with terminal cancer. A few months later, David Shanks was in God's eternity. For 83 years, he gambled with his soul. Never mind the boogies, but he put it right. And there's hope, and there's life in Christ, and you can be saved tonight. Young person, older person, you can be saved tonight. You see, some have possessions. That's their aim in life. They just want to get money and more money and riches. And they're caught up in the material things of this world. And they exchange their soul for the love of possessions. And they couldn't give it up, you know. They just couldn't give it up. And if it means that I get saved, I might have to be honest in business. I might have to lose all that money that I'm stealing from the tax man. That money that I get in a different way, I need to give it all up. And that underhand business, I need to forsake it all. I don't want to get saved because I don't want to lose that money. People who are afraid to come to Christ because their love of possessions. Can I tell you something? I read a very interesting story. I know we can't believe everything in the papers, but I read this article. It tells of a woman who was in her house, and she recalls that she was just in her bedroom. She had just put her little child down to sleep in its little cot. And she was in her own bedroom, and she was looking over some things, and she smelt smoke. And then she heard the crackle of flames. And an instant it registered in her mind that her house had caught fire. Her own testimony tells that she started to gather things in her bedroom. She started to gather jewelry, sentimental things, just things that she saw. She gathered them to herself and was about to flee the house. And she remembered she dropped everything. She dropped everything. The most precious thing in her life was asleep in the next room. She opened her bedroom door and the flames drove her out the window. And she was taken by the fire brigade out through the window. And the fire brigade went in fully clothed to rescue the child. What a tragedy. The child was burned alive in the house fire. My friends, listen to me. Can you imagine the horror that in those seconds she was gathering jewelry, pictures, clothing, and the most precious thing in the world she forgot, her child. We can't say for sure where she had got the time to rescue the child. But don't condemn her. Sinner, don't you dare condemn her. Because you're doing worse. You're heaping to yourself things that you think are precious in this world. And your soul has been neglected. And it's languishing over the flames of hell. But it can be rescued. And it can be saved. There are others who, for power and position, they've sold their soul for power and position. Can I tell you, I don't want to mention this person's name because we're online as well. I wouldn't say he's listening in, but he might be. I want to tell you of a high-ranking official in this country. He came from County Fermanagh, that's all I'm going to say. By hard work and honest labour, that man climbed to the second highest level of authority in the position that he held in Northern Ireland. And he went to gospel meetings in County Fermanagh. And his wife said to him, I quote, "Now if you go to those meetings and you get saved," and this is what she said, "and you throw your lot in with those Free Presbyterians, you can forget about your career." And so he had a battle. His soul or his career. That man stopped going to the gospel meeting. Stopped going to the mission. I've seen him recently. I saw him recently standing in the queue. It was in the lottery queue. I was in the queue as well, but I wasn't in doing the lottery. I had a handful of groceries and I thought it was the queue for the till. And all the time I was moving, it took me about 20 minutes, I was in the lottery queue. No doubt the ones in Lisburn at that time says, we need to pay the Reverend Martin a few more pounds because he's in the lottery queue. But when I got up, I realised, but he was in it in front of me. And I felt like challenging him. And I'm sorry to this day that I didn't. I felt like speaking to him and say, excuse me, sir, can I just say something to you? You've done well in life and fair play to you. But at what cost? How is it with your soul tonight? I should have said it and I didn't. He didn't need to stand in the lottery queue, that's for sure. The man, in my opinion, is a millionaire. And he's got wealth and he had fame. I pray it'll not be so because he's still alive. But at what cost? Maybe you're afraid to get saved tonight because really you want to please other people. What would your family think about you? What would your friends say? What would your neighbours say? What would your school friends or your work colleagues say if you went into uni or college or school tomorrow or into your workplace and you told people that you got saved last night? Are you afraid of what people will say? My brother David was saved on the 31st of July, 1983, 7 weeks after me. He was in the Mays prison. He was sharing a cell with four other inmates. Well, three others and himself, four. It's called the top cell in the dorm. And he knew he needed to be saved that night. And he was afraid to get on his knees. You know why? He was afraid of what those men would say. He was even afraid, if you hear his testimony, he actually says this. He says, I was afraid they would stop me just lying in his bed, he just called upon the Lord for mercy and asked for forgiveness, and Christ came into his heart and saved him. But he was afraid of what others would think. What's keeping you back? Now tell me, what's more important in your life now than your soul? Is it well? Can I come close to you tonight? Can I? Can I speak to you? Forget about everyone else here. Can I speak to you? Yes, you. Young person, older person, yes, you. Can I speak to you? Is it well with your soul? Where do you stand with God? Are you saved? Are you? Are you sure of heaven tonight? Is it well? Is it well with your soul? If we were to finish with that hymn tonight, could you really sing it? It is well. It is well with my soul. I can. A sinner who should have been in hell. I told you there's two things I wanted to say. I've said enough on the first. There's danger your soul can be lost. I finish by saying there's deliverance. Your soul can be saved. And I'm glad tonight that individuals whose souls that are lost can be a liberated soul. A soul that is ruined can be a redeemed soul. A soul that is sinful and separated from God can be a saved soul. I want to tell you, my friend, a ruined soul can be a redeemed soul. How can this be? I'll tell you how. It's because of Calvary. Because of the cross. There's the answer to your soul. There's a remedy to your sin. It's all because of Christ, who is God blessed forevermore. The second person of the triune, Jehovah God. God sent his Son in love to a dying world, and Christ came by virgin birth and was born as a true man and dwelt amongst men. He was God and man in two distinct natures, yet one unique person, and there's none like him. He's the God-man, and he's the Savior of the soul. Not your church, not your institution, not yourself. I'm glad tonight your soul, so precious, so valuable, so important, your soul, so immortal, your soul, depraved, sinful, shut out of heaven. That soul can be a saved soul tonight. That's the good news. If we hadn't good news like this, what would we be doing here tonight? Depressing you all. That's what we'd be doing. Sending you home with no hope. But there is hope. And there's life for a look at the crucified one. I want to tell you, my friend, Christ is God's answer and remedy to your soul and to your sin. For in the work that the Lord Jesus Christ finished or accomplished on Calvary's cross, in dying for our sins and rising again for our justification, and the everlasting righteousness he imparts to the soul when you repent and believe and receive him into your heart, and the fact that he is now risen from the dead, and his perpetual intercession that he makes at the right hand of the Father for us now, through the precious blood that he shed so freely and lovingly on the cross of Calvary to pay the price for sin, and the power that he now exercises on behalf of those that are lost and come to him in saving their soul, and in his willingness to receive, welcome, pardon all who repent of their sin and by faith come and receive him as their Savior. We have God's remedy for the soul. Isn't it good news that your soul tonight, in danger of being lost, can be delivered? A ruined soul redeemed. A sinful soul saved. A lost soul liberated. And it's all because of Calvary. Can I say that in Christ there's salvation for all who will repent and believe? Let me finish with this one illustration, and I know our time is gone. Roland Hill, the famous preacher, but many of you probably haven't heard of him, so he wouldn't be all that famous, but Roland Hill, the evangelist, he was preaching in London in a park many years ago, and this horse-drawn carriage came alongside, and at a distance it stopped, and the curtains moved. And the person inside had stopped the wagon and said that she wanted to listen to this famous preacher preaching in London in the open air. Her name was Lady Anne Erskine. And Nolan Hill immediately saw the carriage and realized, that's Lady Anne Erskine. She stopped to hear me preach. And he did an unusual thing that day. He stopped preaching. And he turned to the entire crowd, a very large crowd. And he says, friends, I want to do something that I've never done before. I want to have an auction today. And he pointed to the carriage. And he says, I want to auction the soul of Lady Anne Erskine. Will anybody bid for her soul? Ah, I hear a bid already. The world. Well, world, what would you give for the soul of Lady Anne Erskine? And the world made answer and said, I will give her happiness. I will give her joy. I will give her peace. I will give her pleasure. All I ask is that she gives herself entirely to me, and I will give her wealth and fame and riches and honor. And he turned to Lady Anne Erskine and he said, ah, world, your price is too low. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world? Lose his own soul. Ah, but I hear another bid. It's Satan himself. Satan, what will you give for the soul of Lady Anne Erskine? And Satan replies and says, I will give to her the lust of her flesh. I will give to her the lust of her eyes and the pride of her life. And all I ask is that she entrusts her soul to me, and I will more than compensate for the loss of her soul. Nolan Hill looked at the carriage and said, ah, Satan, your price is too high. You're a liar and a murderer from the beginning. You promise much, but you give little in return. But I hear a final bid. It is the Lord Jesus Christ, the lover of man's soul. Blessed Savior, what will you give for the soul of Lady Anne Erskine? To which he, Roland Hill, said, Jesus replied, I gave my life for her soul. I shed my crimson blood to save her from her sin. And all that I ask is that she gives me her sin, her evil heart and her wicked thoughts, and I will save her precious soul. And then he said publicly, Lady Anne Erskine, did the Savior not bid well for your soul? The carriage door opened, and she stepped out of the carriage weeping, and she approached the evangelist, and she cried, I'd like to be saved. And he pointed her to the Lord, and she became a friend to the widow. And she became a helper to the poor. My friend, have you thought about your soul? Are you saved? Is it well with your soul? There's danger. Your soul can be lost. There's deliverance. Your soul can be saved. Make sure that your soul is saved and it's well with your soul tonight. Thank you for your attention. May God richly bless his word to all of our hearts. We'll ask the Reverend McKee to come. Yes, and he'll just close possibly in a hymn. Thank you.
In each gospel meeting, the Lord is calling, and he's calling sinners to himself tonight. And we simply want to close with this hymn, 292. It says, out of my bondage, sorrow and night, Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come. Into thy freedom, gladness and light, Jesus, I come to thee. We invite you to come to Jesus, not to a church, not to a denomination, but to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he will save you. This night you can be saved. And even as we sing just two of these verses, I trust and pray that you will call on the Lord if you're not yet saved. Verse number 1 and verse number 2, and we'll stand then to sing and remain standing for prayer.
Out of my bondage, sorrow and night, Jesus, I come, Jesus, I come, into thy freedom, gladness and light. Jesus, I come to thee. Out of my sickness into thy health, out of my want and into thy wealth, out of my sin and into thyself, Jesus, I come to thee. Out of my shameful failure and loss, Jesus, I come, Jesus, I come, into the glorious pain of thy cross, Jesus, I come to thee. Out of her sorrow into thy bond, out of life's storm and into thy calm, out of distress to jubilant sound, Jesus, I come to thee.
Let's close our eyes and bow our heads. Final verse reads, out of the fear and dread of the tomb, Jesus, I come, Jesus, I come. Out of the joy, into the joy and light of thy home, Jesus, I come to thee. I lay the final challenge before you. Will you come? Will you come to the Saviour tonight? The one who bled and died for sinners. The one who is able to save you tonight. The one who is able to put that past, the guilt, the sin, the shame, all under the blood, to give you life and freedom, assurance of heaven. Will you come? Will you come? Don't put it off until tomorrow. Don't say another time. The Bible says now is accepted time. Behold, now is a day of salvation. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word tonight. We thank thee, O Lord, for this clear warning to mankind. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And Lord, there's not one in this meeting will ever gain the whole world. But Lord, it's possible some could lose their soul. Oh, forbid it, Lord, that their eyes would be upon something else at the neglect of their precious soul. Lord, someday that soul will be required. Someday it will go out into eternity. And there it will abide forever. Oh, Lord, we pray that men and women, young people in this meeting tonight, will ensure that tonight they place their soul in the hands of Jesus. Oh, give them grace to call. We thank thee, we can say a wonderful Savior. It's Jesus, my Lord, a wonderful Savior to me. Oh, Lord, be a Savior to all in this meeting tonight. For it's in thy precious and holy name we pray. Amen.